Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Let's read verses 12 and 13. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be with us this morning as we meet here in your name. Lord, we our sincere desire is to magnify you and glorify you more than anything else, and we ask that you would help us to do that. Help your word to go out with power. Help me to preach it, Lord, in a way that would please you and then be effective in the hearts of people. I pray, Lord, that you would touch the group that's going to Mexico. Lord, I pray that you would be with us every single day there, that you would help us not to be an undue burden upon those that are going to be showing us hospitality. Help us as a group to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement, a help. I pray, Lord, that you would touch every young person that's going. Lord, that you would open their eyes and show them things about themselves, about their life, about what you want them to do. Lord, we're in your hands. This morning, this whole week, we're in your hands. We ask, Lord, that however you seek to lead us and to guide us, that you would. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ecclesiastes is an interesting book. It's not usually a book that you want to go to when you're kind of down and depressed, because Ecclesiastes is not going to lift you up all that much. Solomon is writing about life in the book of Ecclesiastes. He's writing about the things that he's experiencing. He's a very rich man and also a very wise man, and there wasn't much in life that he didn't get to take part of in somehow, some way or some shape or fashion. He's one of those kind of guys that he tried it all, man. He experienced it all. He did everything. And he comes to some interesting conclusions in this book here. I was reading through it, and this particular phrase caught my attention. Verse 13 says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." I've been hearing a lot of complaining lately from all different sorts of people about work. And I don't know why it is that I've been running into people that are complaining about work. Some people I go to, I went to a vendor not too long ago, and they're helping me out, and they're complaining about their work. Well, the guy, he sits down at a desk and he helps maybe two or three customers an hour. The rest of the time, he surfs on the internet. He goes up and changes the coffee in the pot. You know, he has what most people would consider a dream job, man. For someone who wanted to, like, study or something, man, he has all the time in the world to do that. But complain about his job, you know. It's just an amazing thing how we get so used to things. We get so, take things so much for granted that we don't realize exactly what we have. Solomon here makes a point. He says that every man should eat and drink, and they should enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Nobody should ever apologize for enjoying their paycheck. That's something you should have to apologize for. I shouldn't feel guilty about eating my meal, you know, like there's some poor soul in Ethiopia that doesn't have enough to eat, therefore I feel guilty because I have enough to eat. You know, God provided me with a meal. I ought to be able to enjoy that meal. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. I thought about that phrase, the gift of God. And I don't think there's a person in this room that doesn't enjoy gifts, you know? We lie all the time. Somebody gives us a gift, and, oh, well, you shouldn't have. Well, no, you don't mean that, really. You enjoy getting that gift, you know? Oh, don't get me anything, you know? That's what my wife tells me. What do you want for your anniversary? You know, I'm trying to get hints and seeing what kind of things she likes and what kind of things she's kind of hoping for. And, oh, you just don't have to give me anything. Just being with you is enough, you know? And I know that, you know? Still, I want to give her a token, something, you know, anything, a bead, a bracelet or something. But people, they like gifts. We enjoy gifts. Sometimes we despise gifts, don't we? Sometimes we get something and it's not exactly what we wanted. You know, I've noticed something about gifts too. That they're not always taken care of as well as something that you labor for. I've gotten some things free before. And because I got them free, they didn't cost me anything. Then I sometimes had a different attitude towards that thing. It's a real difference when you work and you slave and you toil over something. You know, you go and you pay those payments and you buy yourself something and somebody comes along and scratches it or they misuse it or something. You know, that's something precious because it's part of your labor. And yet within our nature, sometimes we get something free and it's cheap. It doesn't. That's why a lot of times when you get families and things that get housing from the government, it's a proven fact that the government housing is not taken care of as well. You put a rental house under Section 8 and somebody comes in and the rent is $800 and somebody only has to pay $150 a month for that house, then I know that there are exceptions. There's people that take care of their stuff, but they're not going to take care of it as well as the person who has $800 a month getting shelled out for that thing. Gifts are something that we just naturally sometimes we don't think about. We take for granted. And yet there are some gifts that we should not take for granted one single day. Number one, this is the gift of God. You know what this man does? He works and he labors. And then he goes home and he enjoys the fruit of his labor. And you know what God says? Or you know what Solomon says? He says, this is the gift of God. I don't think there's a single person in this room that ought to feel so proud, that ought to be so haughty and so mighty, like that somehow they created their life. Do you realize how much has been given to you by God simply just by being alive? All this complaining, all of this feeling down and bad because of this or this little thing or that little thing or that little thing. Man, I guarantee being stuck in rush hour traffic beats sitting in a hospital bed. I'm serious, man. The alternative is always worse, I'm telling you. Life. Being able to get up and go to work, you know, that's just a tremendous gift. For you to be able to take your energy and your time and be able to do something constructive that helps society. Man, God was so merciful to the human race. He could have just destroyed us off the face of the earth. As wicked as we are and as much as we spit in His face, and yet He has given us such a tremendous gift of life. You know what I would say? Don't take life for granted. It breaks my heart. And I was the same way when I was a kid. I drank stuff that I shouldn't have drank. I smoked stuff that I shouldn't have smoked. I did things that I shouldn't have done. Man, life is going to go on forever. I never gave one thought to the fact that I could be hurting my own life, my own mortality. Man, life is a tremendous gift. Have you ever sat down and just thanked God that you were alive today? Some of you have. You come out of a car wreck or something, you come this close to death, and then you're back out and you've got another lease on life. Man, I'm telling you what, life is precious. We understand that here in America. I don't think I really have to convince too many people that life is precious, because we go through extraordinary measures to save a life here in this country. And I'm thankful for it too. Man, we got helicopters that cost thousands and thousands of dollars a day with trained personnel. They will fly out to where you wrecked your car and pick up your broken body and fly you to the hospital, all in an effort just to save your life. I was reading about this surgeon. And his whole goal in life was to save a life, if he could possibly help it. I'm thankful to be around people that value life. It's not that way everywhere else in the world. You enjoy human rights here like you wouldn't believe, but it's not that way in other parts of the world. Other parts of the world, life is cheap. It's nothing. But I want you to know that if you have life here today, you might be feeling sorry for yourself and saying, you know, I don't have a very good life. Man, I'm telling you, it sure beats the alternative. And a lot of it has to do with what you think about it. If you got breath in your lungs this morning, thank God for it. You got a job, you don't like the job, but you got a job, you ought to thank God for it. There are lots of people that don't. You have a choice of jobs here in this country. Man, that is a gift from God. There are many places. There is no choice. There is no alternative. You have to do this and this only, and you hardly get anything for it. Every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I don't think that we ought to feel guilty for being prosperous. I don't think that we ought to feel bad for being prosperous. I think that we ought to enjoy it, and we ought to realize where it comes from. It comes from God. Look in Romans in chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, as soon as I get there. Look in verse 20. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." In this passage right here, it describes the natural, the natural progression of men's thinking right here, the wickedness of men's hearts. That when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. It's amazing how many people. I heard a lady the other day. She says, you know, says we ought to be thankful for life, but she didn't believe in God. Let me ask you a question. When you're thankful for life, who are you thankful to if you don't believe in God? Who do you thank, you know, when somebody saves your life? You know, it's an amazing thing. What's amazing is that if God is the giver of life, if He is the Creator and we are the created, then it just stands to reason that we give Him the credit for our life. We are so incredibly, incredibly arrogant and proud that somehow by our own strength we're causing ourselves to live. That is so foolish. It doesn't matter whether you're weak or strong. It doesn't matter whether you're healthy or sick. God has the power of life and death. He's our Creator. That's the first step that a man's got to come to. And He's our Creator. We're not just some figment of evolution here. How somebody could possibly believe all that mess is beyond me. But we are not a figment of evolution. Nothing didn't rub up against nothing and cause friction and cause an implosion, which caused an explosion. And then all this stuff started twisting around in the universe like a pizza. And then the planet Earth spun off over here and Mars spun off over there. Man, that's not how it happened. God created everything that we see. He created you and He created me. And He is the Creator. And our job, our duty, our whole purpose in being is to honor the One who created us.
Amen.
He is the giver of life. He created us. You are not here by yourself. You didn't evolve here. You didn't have a choice in where you were born, how you were born. You didn't have a choice in what you looked like, your intelligence level. You think you're so smart. You better thank God that you're so smart.
Right.
You could have been born with an IQ of 3. God gave you everything that you have. It comes from God. This group of people, they worship the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Don't ever lose sight of the Creator. Don't ever lose sight of the One who made you. I mean, that is the first step. Whether you're lost or saved, the first step that a man ought to come to is just to be thankful that God made him alive. But you know, it goes on farther. Because that's not the only gift God gives. Look back over there in Ecclesiastes. Solomon very handily points this out to us, that look at what he says in verse 11. He says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." So I'm saying, if you're feeling bad, go to Psalms. Get in the book of Psalms and lift yourself up, because Solomon is just being real here. Now, he's come to the point where he has observed his Creator. He's realized that all this gift, this work, this labor, these fruits, these things that we enjoy, that they're all a gift from God. But he goes one step farther. He's considering this, and he's considering this life in general. Let me tell you something. Solomon has tried it all. He wanted to build houses. He built houses. He wanted to go and hire singers. Man, he didn't go search for a concert. He made one himself and brought it to his place. He had the money to do whatever he wanted to do. And he had things that nobody else had or ever dreamed of. And yet when it came down to the end of that, after all of his parties, after all of the things that he experienced, after all the things that he owned and all the things that he did, he said, "All was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Now, why do you think he would say that out of one corner of his mouth and out of the other corner of his mouth, say, you know, this is a gift from God and we should enjoy this? Because if that's all God gives, if that's all there is, then actually it's pretty empty. If all you're doing is living for the next possession, living for the next experience, living for the next thing to do, and then you die and that's it, well, no wonder Solomon was depressed. What a depressing thought to have all this, to be able to experience God, to be able to experience the beauty of nature and all of these things, only to end up winding down. I mean, he looked at all of his riches and it depressed him beyond measure that he was going to die and somebody else was going to get all his stuff. And they weren't going to treat it like he does. You see, when you're dead, your stuff doesn't get the respect that it deserves. You just observe the next funeral and see the kids going through the things, you know? Some things are precious, yeah, they're sentimental, and other things, man, they're just grandpa's trash, you know? I'm serious, man. It's just stuff is what it, and that depressed him, man. Well, for a man to spend his whole life building houses and gardens and vineyards only to, man, who's going to take care of this when I'm gone? It's all vanity. Well, there's a natural thing. If all you're doing is thanking God for life, then one day life's going to end. See, that's another thing that we learn. Life doesn't last forever. It's very limited in its quantity. It's very short. And it passes very quickly. But you see, God, He's got a lot more vision than that. He didn't just make a bunch of creatures and set them on the face of the earth and put you here and tell you to live and to work and to do the best you can and then die and then you go into the ground and then somebody else comes up and they live and work and do the best they can. And some people have tried to reason this out. They've tried to decide, man, there's got to be some other way. And so they invent reincarnation, you know. Okay, well, it must be that I live and I work and I breathe and I do the best I can and then I die. And then I come back to life, you know. And then I learn more. And so then I live and work and do the best that I can. You know, one thing about reincarnation, has anybody ever met any of these so-called evolved beings? There was a very popular woman who said that she had been some, I don't know, famous person thousands of years ago, and she'd lived these other lives. Well, man, that doesn't give a whole lot of hope for reincarnation, because her present life was pretty screwed up. She was making a lot of mistakes. She hadn't learned very much. You don't come back again, man. It's all over. It's all dead. I'm telling you, there is another gift that God gives, that if you don't have this gift, then man, I'm telling you what, life is meaningless. It is dark. I don't blame people for being pessimistic. I don't blame people for wanting to know, is this all there is? Isn't there anything more? I'd like to say today, thank God, yes, there is more than just life. Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You know, there is a gift that is so much greater than the gift of life, even though in this life, the gift of life seems to be paramount more than anything else. It's the gift of salvation.
Amen.
What he was offering this woman here was so incredibly beyond just the natural life that we live, the air that we breathe, the things that we experience. This incredible gift was the gift of salvation.
Amen.
He said, man, you're drinking that water, you're going to thirst again. And the truth was, that was her experience. She had five husbands, and the one that she was with now wasn't her husband. What did that tell you? It told you that she started out a relationship. She thought that relationship was going to satisfy her, was going to mean something to her. And for some reason, that thing failed. And so she was searching for another one, and she searched. And man, she'd been through five men, and she was getting ready to leave that one because the pattern would have still continued. Life by itself doesn't satisfy. And everyone finds that out sooner or later. Just life by itself, relationships don't satisfy. Experiences don't satisfy. Doesn't matter what you give or do, you're looking for the next adrenaline rush, the next thing, the next goal, the next dream. Ultimately, it doesn't satisfy. The only thing that will satisfy you fully and completely is the salvation that Jesus Christ has to offer. And let me tell you why. Is because in our hearts and deep down in our beings, we are sinful and wicked creatures. This idea that there's good in every man is, it just doesn't hold water. There's wicked in every man. And every man is fully and completely and totally depraved. And you know why we do a lot of running around? You know why you're spinning your wheels and you're searching for things and you're trying to keep your mind occupied and busy? Is because in the back of your mind, that sin is weighing heavily upon you. And you might even try to be good. You might have even made resolutions within yourself to clean up your act and do better. Maybe that woman, after maybe the third relationship or the second relationship, said, "You know, I am never doing this again." How many drunks have woke up in the morning and said, "Never again. Ever. I'm through. I'm finished." And you know what Proverbs says? "Yet they will seek it yet again." Oh, that's the nature of human. You see, we got that sin problem that needs to be taken care of. And only Jesus can save you from your sin. You know how irritating that word is to many people? When you tell them that they must be saved. "Oh, come on, what are you talking about? Saved? You know, saved from what?" I'm telling you something. Every single one of us needs to be saved. The Bible says, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life." You must be saved from that road that leads to eternal condemnation. The end of each and every one of us is death and hell. And Jesus has provided Himself a sacrifice. He has decided to take Himself and put all the sin of the world upon Himself. And He became our sacrifice, so that we could be saved.
Amen.
Not cleaned up. Not given an opportunity to turn over a new leaf. No, this woman didn't need another relationship. She didn't need another fix. She needed Jesus Christ. And today, Jesus Christ offers you the gift of salvation. It's greater, so much greater than this gift of life. God's given you life. And then on top of that, God wants to give you eternal life. Only a fool would turn that down. But you don't want a boss over you. You don't want somebody telling you what to do. Man, I'm telling you, if He's going to save me from hell, if He's going to keep me from eternal condemnation, if He is actually going to take me away from the bondage of my sin that has kept me bound, man, who cares what He asks me to do? Who cares what He tells me to do? Man, everything is in His control. The way I looked at it when I got saved, it didn't matter what God's expectations were. It didn't matter what His demands on me were. I didn't care. I wanted to be saved. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want eternal condemnation. I was tired of my sin and I was tired of life, and I wanted something that would last. To me, it didn't matter. I wanted to be saved. Man, did I want to be saved. Today, if you want to be saved, Jesus Christ will save you. This is plain and simple. No application to fill out. No waiting list. You can just come to Him as you are, and He'll save you. And that's a gift. The Bible says, if you look in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Man, that's the greatest part of being saved. It's not of myself. You've messed up enough, man. You've made too many wrong decisions. You've done things wrong. You've determined that your willpower doesn't last for a day. Thank God salvation is not of ourselves. Man, I wouldn't want to go to one of these Indian religions where my inner peace depended on me sitting cross-legged and chanting a little phrase, you know. And man, that's not salvation. That's denial is all that is. You're filling your head with little sounds to block out the voices that are telling you you're wicked and you're condemned. That's just denial, man. Salvation is real. It's a gift from God. You can't earn it. You can't work on it. And by the way, what are you doing walking around like a peacock because you're saved and they're not? Come on, man. It's not of yourselves. Christians don't have any right, don't have any position to be proud and to look down their noses at other people that are lost. like they're scum. Yeah, like you. Same scum. All comes from the same thing. Only you're a little bit lower because they know they're scum and you're pretending like you're not. Christians don't have any position to be proud and arrogant over this gift, but to be humble and to be thankful. You're down on church and you're down on reading the Bible and you're down on this and you're down on that. You need to go back and reconsider the gift that God has given you. All the gift. It's a gift like no other gift. You know, the Father, He's a giver. He gives good gifts. And I'd like to point out just one more thing. If you look back in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Your life is a gift from God. Your salvation is a gift from God. Now look at the book of James in chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Both of these things originate from God. And there's another gift. There's something else that He gives free. It's a tremendous thing, and it's something that many times, because just like with life, just like with salvation, you end up taking for granted. But you know, God, He gives spiritual gifts too. He gives them freely. They don't go by merit. He, as a Christian, and it's so amazing to me how many Christians just stop at salvation and then they're satisfied and that's all they live for after that. They never seek to grow. But you know, God's design doesn't stop at salvation. And in fact, God didn't even save you just so that you could run around and be thankful over being saved. And God didn't save you simply purely for the fact so that you could enjoy your salvation. Hey, He's provided you life so that you could help other people. He's provided you goods so that you could bring other people relief. He's given you salvation so that you could use it for the glory of Him. You're not saved just so that you can curl up into your own little world and never touch another human being. Look in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to talk to you just a few minutes in closing about a responsibility that we have for spiritual gifts. Because too many times we do thank God for our labor. We do thank God for our food. We do thank God for our salvation. But then it stops there. You're not the only one who needs to be saved. You're not the only one. You're not the last one that needs the Lord. Remember where you were when you didn't have God? Maybe you can remember a point in time where you were like Solomon and you were despairing of life. You were considering the vanity of everything that it is. God's given us some tremendous gifts. I could list many of them. I mean, some people, God has given them the gift to speak. Others, God's given them a gift of comfort to be able to comfort and strengthen. Others, the gift to be able to really expound the Word of God. Others, He's given just tremendous gifts, gifts of comfort, gifts of encouragement, all kinds of things. And God has gifted every man with something. My point is that God is a giver, and God has given some gifts to Christians You know what happens too many times? Is you let the gifts that God has given you rot. Somebody gave me, I don't remember what kind of fruit it was, but it was a whole bag of something. I don't remember whether they were grapefruits or what they were. But I had taken that whole bag, and man, they were juicy and they were fresh. And I took them and I sat them down, and I don't remember ever seeing them again. I don't know, maybe some garbage bags got piled on top of them or whatever. About 3 weeks later, we noticed those things, kind of like that corruptible watermelon of yours. We noticed something wasn't right, you know. Of course, it made the kitchen real clean because we kept scrubbing that kitchen, and yet something just did not smell right. We finally got to looking, and there was fruit under there that hadn't been eaten, hadn't been touched, and it was just sitting there rotting. You know, that's a shame. That's a waste of good food. I hate to waste food, you know. I hate to waste anything. And for me, it almost brings a grown man to tears to know that he had all that beautiful fruit and then he wasted it. He just let it sit. I remember I had a truck one time. I was meaning to fix it. It was in my heart to repair that truck, you know. I was going to repair that truck, but there it sat. And then one day, it fell off the jacks because it rained real hard and it got down into the mud. And so I determined within my heart I was going to get under that truck and I was going to jack it up and put it back up on blocks so that one day I could fix that truck. And it just kept on going. Well, finally, about a year and a half later, I decided, you know, I need to do something about that truck. I got that thing jacked up. I realized the whole underside was covered with mud and debris. It would have cost me thousands of dollars to get that truck going. I had neglected that. You know, 1 Timothy, it says, Paul was telling Timothy, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect it. You know what you do many times with the spiritual gifts that God has given you? You just let them waste. You just live for yourself and for nothing else, and you let them go to pot. You neglect them, and just like that old truck out there in that mud, it just waxes away to nothing. You know, to me, that is a shame. That should be an embarrassment for a Christian not to reach the potential that God has designed him to be. For a Christian to live and to have experienced life, and then not only that, but to have experienced the wealth and the joys of salvation, only to keep it to themselves and not share it with anybody else, not do anything with this tremendous gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given you. Man, God has designed you for something so much more. God's given you gifts to minister to the body. He's given you gifts to be able to preach the gospel to the lost. He has put within you spiritual things that are so precious. Why do you treat them as nothing? I've seen people put more stock in a physical possession than in a spiritual blessing. But some people says, well, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, I got to think about retirement. I got to think about these things and I got to have this little thing. I'm going to tell you, if you can hold it in your hand, it is going to rot and it's going to turn to nothing. There are some things that go so far beyond this life that you can have forever. You can give money to the work of the Lord and it'll last forever. You can do something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that work will never be forgotten. You've got the ability to do so much more than what you think. You're not just somebody who sits down in a chair in church. You are an active member of the body of Jesus Christ, and you have got within you, God has been put something in every single person. Put something in order to benefit and increase the body, and to get the gospel out to the lost. It's a shame that we squander it. You know, he tells us, and maybe I have the verse, I'm just going off the cuff and getting off my outline, but look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, 6. He's telling Timothy again here. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stirring up is not pleasant. At least none of my kids enjoy it when I get up in the morning and I stir them up. Come on, man, it's time to get up, you know? We got these little two-way radios. I stuck a two-way radio right next to Matthew's head the other morning. And I went into the other room. Bass to Matthew, come in. I thought I was going to freak him out. You know, whoa. I did that twice. And then I heard this, Matthew to bass, over. He got it right away. It was pretty neat. I stirred him up. Laying in the bed is pretty cool, but you don't get anything done laying in the bed. It's all right if it's at night and your body needs rest to lay in the bed. But if it's 11 o'clock in the morning and you're still in bed, I'm wondering why, you know, what's going on? Spiritually, some of you guys are still in bed. You've never gotten up. You've never been stirred up. I don't have the words to use to be able to describe what a blessing it is to be used of God, to be available for God, to see a gift in its infancy stage take root and flourish and grow. Man, God has given us some gifts. I remember clearly when God called me to preach. Oh man, what a gift that was. I held that in my hands like it was gold. But you know, I had gift to preach in name only. I'm telling you something, my gift to preach was not evident right away. Here's what you got to do, you got to stir it up. You got to get up, you got to develop it. You bail out right away and say, you know, there's nothing I can do for the church, there's nothing that I can do for God's kingdom. You bail out too soon. You don't give God an opportunity to grow you and to develop you and to make you into something that He can use. I'm telling you, man, if you're sleeping spiritually and you're not doing anything for that God that gave you life, you're not doing anything for that God that gave you salvation, you're not doing a thing with that God that put in your bosom the gift to serve Him and to honor Him and to glorify Him, then I wish I could stir you up and wake you. I wish I could be like that eagle in the Old Testament. You know, it says that he stirs up his nest because them little eaglets or whatever you call them, little birds, them... What do you call an eaglet? I don't even know. But you take them little eagle babies, you know, and they're there in that nest. And that nest is warm. And you know, that nest is a pretty cool place to be because you don't have to go searching for your own worms. Or in an eagle's case, I guess it's carcasses, you know. You don't have to search for your own carcass. Man, it's brought to you. All you do is lay there and open your mouth and everything's provided. You know, is it possible that some of you have sat in that chair and opened your mouth long enough? Isn't it time to kind of start thinking in your mind and figuring out what God wants you to do in return? What He wants you to do with your life that'll honor Him? Isn't it time to start thinking about that? As an eagle stirs up the nest. Man, it's cold, I know. First time they spread their wings and they get out in the air, it's uncomfortable, and I know that. But an eagle doesn't belong in the nest its whole life. It belongs out there in the air, soaring. As a Christian, spiritually, you don't belong in a place where your gift is being neglected and unused and untouched. It may not matter to you now, but there is a day when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to be scrambling, where in the world was that gift that He gave me? Yeah, Lord, I know You had given me that gift. I had it here somewhere. Where is it? Don't wait until that day. Figure out what God wants you to do now. Make your life count now. In some small way, touch somebody else with what you have. And by all means, don't keep it to yourself. Because what He's given you is a gift from God. Don't despise that gift. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the air that goes into our lungs. Thank You for giving us life. Thank You for giving us health and the ability to enjoy these great things that You have provided for us physically. Thank You, Lord, for the physical blessings. And thank You, Lord, so much for salvation. Oh, thank You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if anybody here today does not know You as their Lord and Savior, Lord, today they would repent of their sins and humble themselves and come to You and seek Your face for salvation. I pray that You would open their eyes and that You would save them today. I pray, Lord, that if there's any Christian here that's not living up to what God designed them to be, that's not taking any part or doing anything for the gospel's sake, Lord, I pray that You would turn their heart and stir them up and change their mind, that they would not neglect this tremendous spiritual gift that God's given them. Lord, help us all to honor You in everything we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock.